Morning. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church. It's great to have each and every one of you here with us today. There's actually some people that are here with us today, and it's sitting every other row, so it's kind of strange to look around. They're all spread out, but it's just great to have people here, and just I feel very thankful and blessed that we can meet together here in our church services. So we're going to open up in a word of prayer, and then we're going to have Mr. Chambers come and lead us in our theme song and also some congregational singing. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thankful for today, where we are truly overwhelmed by your love and your grace and your mercy. And even though we have not been able to meet here physically for a little while, like we're doing today, Lord, we're just thankful for the opportunities we have had for so many years, the religious freedoms that we've had and the spiritual liberty that we've had. Lord, just reminds us of how much it means to us. Help us never forget what you did for us on the cross. Help us never forget the freedoms we have in America. Lord, I pray that today's service would be something that would be encouraging and help to each person that's here and each person that's staying home and watching through live stream. Lord, we know that there are some people that are sick and some people that are struggling, some different sicknesses inside our church family. We pray you help them, and Lord, we pray you encourage them. Lord, once again, we want everything done here today, whether it be singing, whether it be preaching, whether it be fellowshipping, everything be done for your honor and glory today. And Lord, your name be lifted on high. Lord, we ask that you bless the service. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Chambers.
Good morning. We will start with a theme song this morning. It should be on the screen behind me.
Brethren, we have been to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless a spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray.
Grab your hymn books and stand, if you will, and turn to page 67. We'll do At Calvary, the first, the second, and the fourth verses. Sing with me.
Years are spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. No way not, it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. My sin I learned, then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. Then my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Salvation's plan, all the grace that brought it down to man, all the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden saw for liberty at
seeking my best. There were times is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call. You are always good. You are wholly good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, how my heart believe, you are always only good. Looking up, I can see your sympathy. I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our home above. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, how my heart believes, you are always only good. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, how my heart believes, you are always only good. You are always only good.
Amen. 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 Isn't that true? He's always good. Thankful for that. And even though sometimes things are uncertain, even though sometimes we feel like things aren't going our way, he is always good to us. Thank you for that. Let's see here. A couple quick announcements. Remember, we're having service about 20 minutes after we get finished here. We're taping the evening service if you'd like to stay. Also, birthdays of the week. We have Linda Bilger's birthday on the 17th, Carolyn Casperi's birthday on the 19th, and Aaron Riddick's birthday on the 20th. And that's not the only thing that's happening exciting in the Riddick's life here soon, too. So be praying for the baby that's coming. And so it's due, I believe, this coming Saturday. So be praying for the Riddick family there. Also, as I mentioned before, we're going to continue on live streaming the services for Wednesday night, and also the next Sunday we're going to follow the same format. Please be here at 10 a.m., and we're going to record the two services, have it live stream, and then also do the same thing the next following Wednesday service too. When it comes to inside the building, please just be careful of following the directions that's given, and also be kind and considerate to everybody else in their space and things like that. Had a great revival last week. Thank you for those who gave in the love offering for Brother McBride. It was very generous. Today's the last day we're still collecting. If you want to mark something on the outside of your envelope, referring to something you'd like to go to him and his family and his ministry, that's wonderful. Just do that. There is offering plates set up in the back, so as you leave, you can drop your offering there, or you can continue mailing it to the P.O. box, or you can continue doing it online, too. So all those different things, options there that we want you to feel comfortable and safe as you're giving. Once again, we're just excited about having you here and still just walking through this day by day, week by week, making decisions as the Lord leads, and we're still planning on wanting to do things such as a kids' crusade and camps and things like that, but we're taking these just one step at a time, and we're praying about that, and we'll give you details as we know them. So we're going to ask Mr. Chambers to come lead us in another song, and we're going to have, then he's going to sing some special music for us, and then we're going to have our message.
If you will, excuse me, please grab your hymn books, turn to page 167. 167, we will do the first, second, and fourth verses also again. Sing with me.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
these snares may fix my soul from earth to earth. But my Lord goes ahead, leave will there be time. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Verse 4. When before me billows roll from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my book, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through the squirrel below. He's a real friend to me, oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Good singing, folks. Thank you. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a timely rock within a weary land. Oh, home within the wilderness, a rest upon the from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Upon the cross of Jesus, mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears to wonders I confess the wonders of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. Oh, take the cross as shadow for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain or loss. My sinful self, my only shame, my glory all.
Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles today, and we're going to end up in Luke chapter number 6, but we're going to do a couple turning from different scriptures here and there. We're going to begin, if you want to follow along, in Colossians chapter number 1. So we're going to, our introduction is going to be going and looking at some familiar verses, but if you'd like to just go where we're going to end up, it's Luke chapter number 6. I would encourage you to follow along and head over to Colossians chapter number 1. Couple announcements I forgot to mention. Don't forget our kids program should be up. It's the fourth installment of that, and hopefully young people have been watching that, and thankful for those that have been saying their verses and things like that, and it's hopefully been an encouragement and help. Also, a young adult / teen Bible study was done by Brother Mike Edwards this past week, and I think he did a great job, and hopefully you had an opportunity to watch that, young people. Once again, I think it's good for young and old to watch the kids and the young adult and teen Bible studies. I've been learning and growing from all of those different opportunities God has given me. So we're going to look at today, it's going to be not really a two-part sermon, but it's definitely going to build one on top of another. And we're going to look at some of the great questions in the Bible. And the great question that we're going to look at today is found in Luke chapter number 6. And Jesus uses these words, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things I say?" He's telling him, he's just done preaching a sermon, and he says, "Why in the world do you call me Lord and don't do the things I tell you to do?" And we're going to get to that in a second. But our first point this morning is found, it's kind of a little bit of a study about how we got here. And I'm talking about creation, how in the world we got here in this world. The first verse, I think, is obvious. Where we would go to is Genesis 1:1, where everybody begins that, and where the Bible says, and if you know that verse, let's actually say it all together. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." If you believe that, then you know what? It changes everything. If you believe that God created the heaven and earth, you believe that this is his book, then guess what? Everything changes then. The life, the way you should live, there is a way you're supposed to live. There is a knowledge you can have. Colossians chapter number 1 kind of even opens it up a little bit more for us. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And so I've been thinking and meditating a little bit this week, and I came to this really intelligent conclusion. If it was not for God, I wouldn't be here. Think about it. If it was not for God, you wouldn't be here. If it was not for God, the world wouldn't be here. And you think, wow, that really blows your mind. Well, if you really think about it, it does kind of blow your mind. The only reason why I'm here, I know what some of you are going to say, well, my mom and dad told me, I brought you in this world, I can take you out of this world. I'm talking about before that ever happened, the whole reason why we're here, and the whole vast, God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. The only reason why I'm here, the only reason why you're here, is I came to church because I'm talking about the only reason why we even exist, planet Earth exists, is because in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Colossians chapter number 1 continues to give a little bit of description here. Look what it says in verses 16 and 17 in Colossians chapter number 1. And it goes a little bit farther. "For by him were all things created," not just some. It wasn't just there was some type of explosion that God created happen and the world's just been evolving. No, "for by him were all things created." And then he even becomes a little bit more specific. "That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." So that phrase at the end, "all things were created by him," we get that. That next words, "and for him." So we continue on in the thought that, hey, I wouldn't even be here. God's created everything. And I like to think about the thrones and dominions and principalities and the praising time inside my devotion time this morning. It talked about how he was Lord of Lord and King of Kings. And the amazing God that we serve. There is no ruler, no emperor, no king, no anything that can compare to our God. There isn't. He created it all. There's nothing. You look at maybe Nebuchadnezzar maybe being the most powerful king or emperor of all time. And people would disagree. I'm not a history buff, but these are some things. What did God do with him? To show him who he was, he gave him the heart of a beast for 7 years. No matter how strong an individual is or how talented a person is, no matter how great that they might think that they are in no comparison. They're out of their league when they're comparing themselves to God because he's the one that's created them all. And he says all things are created by him and for him. Then you go to verse number 17. It says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The only reason why we are here today, the only reason why any of us are here today, it's because God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you say, okay, so what am I supposed to do with that? Let's go to Revelation chapter number 4. You can hold your finger here because we're going to come back and look at Colossians chapter 1 in a second. But in Revelation chapter number 4, there's a wonderful verse there that, to me, helps why I am here. You say, okay, why did he create me or why did he create the world? Is it so I can do what I want? Is it so I can live my life and fulfill my dreams and do whatever my flesh tells me? And the obvious answer we know is no. But look what it says here in Revelation chapter number 4. Look what it says in verse number 11. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. I think we would all say, you know what? He is worthy. If he is the creator of all this, he's worthy of glory. He's worthy of honor and power. It says, for thou hast created all things. Now look at this. And for thy pleasure, they are and were created. So what he's saying here is that we're not here to fulfill our own pleasures and our own desires. The thought process that when God created this world, he created it with this thought. It's for his pleasure. Now go back to Colossians chapter number 1 and look at verse number 18. So how did we get here? You know, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. You know, why did he create it? It's for his pleasure. We wouldn't even exist. All things consist because of him. All things were made by him and for him. And then you come to verse number 18. He says, and he is, Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 18, and he is the head of the church, head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn among the dead, from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So scripture is opening up and saying, okay, this is where I fit in this world. I would not even exist if it were not for God. The place where I walk at, the place, the America that we love, all these different things, it wouldn't even be here if there was not a God that in the beginning God created the heaven and earth. Then as the scripture tells us and unfolds to us, okay, yeah, he created all these things, but why did he create it? By him and for him, for his pleasure. And then he says, now this is how he gets pleasure. The institute of the church, he died, he rose again, the firstborn among the dead. And then it goes to say, in all things, he might have preeminence. So the first thing is how he got here. The second thing I want you to think about is how we should respond to that truth. So in the scriptures, it's saying preeminence. What does that word mean? It means first in rank. It means first in place, first in influence. It means the first thing I think about, the first thing I give consideration to is how God's going to respond to this. What would God want me to do? What would God want me to say? How is it that God wants me to react? You say, why in the world should I give him that type of ranking? Why should I put him up so high and so great in my life? It's because you wouldn't even be here if it was not for him. This world would not even be here. He created all things by him and for him, for his pleasure. And we were created. And the only reason why we exist today is because God created the heaven and the earth. Now, he says, I should have preeminence in your life. I don't know about you, but there's different people that we think about when we're looking for, I wonder how this person's going to react to this, or I wonder how that person's going to react to this. And many times what we got to do is silence the voices in our lives. And I know that's tough sometimes, especially when you have a mate that you love, or a child that you love, or a friend that you love. And they all have different opinions. But many times what we need to do is silence the voices in our lives so we can hear the one that should be preeminent in our life, the one that should have the first ranking, the one that should have the most influence, the one that should have that first place in our life. First rank, it's God. Now let's go to Luke chapter number 6. The first thing is how we got here. I think that's a pretty obvious one, but I think it's a good thing to reconsider and think about. Second thing is how we should respond. Okay, he should have the preeminence. And I think most people would say, okay, we're with you, Pastor. This is right. This is good. We agree with all that. Now, here's the third thing. Great questions of the Bible. Some of them are hard to fathom. Some of them are hard for us to think about and think through. Yeah, we know them, but do we apply them? And here it is. It's Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. He says, he's been teaching, he's been preaching a sermon that's similar to the Sermon on the Mount, but it's not the exact same location. You said, Pastor, how do you know? Well, it's different situations, different words that are used, different, you know, it's different because, you know, if Jesus is going from area to area to area, he's going to be preaching the similar things at different places to try to get the word and the message out. And here in Luke chapter number 6 and verse 46, he's been talking about people being hypocrites. He's been talking about how can the blind lead the blind? They're both going to fall in a ditch. He's been talking about things that they have never heard. And instead of dealing with the outward appearance like the religious leaders of that day did, he was dealing with the heart. And he asked this question. And to me, this question would just preach all by itself if we just read the question and we sat there and we thought about it for the next 20 or 30 minutes. Boy, it could change our lives, because he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" I mean, pretty much it's simple. Why in the world do you call me Lord? Why in the world do you give me that title and say, I have this place in your life, and you don't even do the things that I tell you to do? I don't know about you, but that gets kind of blows my mind. Kind of blows out of the water my selfish pride and thinking, okay, if I say he is Lord, then what rights do I have? If he's Lord, it means he's in charge and control. Look what it says here. A couple of things to think about. He's teaching here, what does the word Lord mean? It means to have supreme authority. It means to be a controller. And that's, he is supposed to be Lord of our lives. Jesus is ending this sermon similar to, if you went back and study it, he's talking about listening, hearing, and doing. So there's one thing about hearing, and then there's something else completely different about doing. And he says, look, yes, you hear what I have to say, but many of you are not doing the things that I've asked you to do. What really matters in this world is, what do we do with what we hear? That determines what type of life you're going to live. What we do with what we hear determines what type of Christian life and testimony we're going to have. What we do with what we hear determines whether or not we're ever going to become a Christian. Knowledge is not enough. There is a belief that is necessary. There is a faith and a trust that must happen. And here in the scriptures, what he's saying to this group, and once again, he's not trying to get, he's not willing that any should perish. He wants all men to repent. But at the same time, he's telling the truth. He's saying, he's looking at this crowd and he says, look, I hear you. You keep on saying, Lord, Lord. You keep on saying, hey, look, there's the master. There's the one that's in control. There's the one that's in supreme authority. There's the one that we should listen to. There's the one that we obey. But your actions show something completely different. And he says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? And he said, well, Pastor, is it right for us to call him Lord? The answer is yes. But think back John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, he's getting ready to die on the cross for the sins of mankind. He's up there in the upper room getting ready to institute the Lord's Supper. And what does he do? He washes the disciples' feet. And after that, at the end of that, he takes that form of a servant and he says this. He says, ye call me master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. So he's saying, yes, when you call me Lord and when you call me master, you got the right title. You got the right relationship. This is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to say. But then he says, he continues on, if I then, your Lord and master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. So how did we get here? How we should respond to that? And the third point is why we struggle so much. We sing the songs. I like today's song, oh, I want to see him. I want to see him, I do. We sing the songs about how I surrender all. We sing the songs lifting him up on high. But the scripture is saying here, what the Lord wants us to consider today is, hey, if you think I'm your Lord, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to do the things I say. When you call someone Lord, that means you're taking on the role of a servant, even almost a role of a slave. And you don't question what the Lord has to say. You do what the Lord has to say. It means that you're willing to follow him. You're willing to be subject unto him. It means that there is no expression of opposition. And that's what, when you call someone Lord, that's why you don't have people walking around saying, hey, Lord, you know, you don't, because many times people are questioning. Many times people are showing opposition. Many times, but when we're talking about God, he's saying, why do you put me in that role and you're not willing to do the things that I say? And I think many of us are like Peter. Peter's, remember in Acts chapter number 10, he's up, I believe he's up on the rooftop, he's praying, and there's a vision that comes down, and there's a vision of food or animals that are there is coming, and the Lord tells him to rise up and eat. Listen to what it says here in Acts chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said these three words, "Not so, Lord." What's the big deal? You can't call somebody Lord and tell him no at the same time. Because he's no longer the Lord of your life. "Not so, Lord," is a contradictory terminology. It's contradictory words. It's saying, hey, no, Lord. See, he's not Lord anymore. We've taken him off the throne and placed ourselves on the throne. He said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spake unto him again, saying the second time, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." And so what the scripture is saying here, he says, hey, look, that if God has called it cleansed, if God says it's okay, who are you to question and say that it's common? And that's what he could ask Peter the exact same question right there. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say?" To me, it's this question of, yes, I'm going to listen, but am I going to obey? Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 puts it this way, describing a group of people who would speak good with their mouths, but their heart was far from God. He said, "Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men." So he says, with their lips they honor me, but they have removed their heart from me. And that's what the Lord is saying. Hey, look, there's something wrong here. If you're calling me Lord, and you're calling me Lord, and you call me Lord, but you know there's something you should be doing, and you choose not to do it. So in our lives today, I think God wants us. I know throughout this week, he's been speaking to my heart about, hey, He is God. He is the creator. And once again, don't get me wrong. He is our Father too. He loves us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. There are so many positive things, but the root of the matter, if you get right down to it, why are you calling him Lord and not doing what he asks you to do? You've missed something here. You with your lips, show him honor, but your heart's far from him. In the book of Mark, and Matthew responds with this again. He says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Look what it says here in verse number 39. We're gonna, for sake of time, I would enjoy just going through all these different things. But in verse 39, he gives this illustration here. And it says, "And he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch?" So what the scriptures are saying here, he says, okay, he says, look, can you that are spiritually blind help somebody else spiritually? And the answer is no. If you're spiritually blind, how in the world are you going to help somebody else spiritually? He says, you're both going to fall in the ditch. And the next verse says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Saying, hey, look, if you learn from your master, you know what's going to happen? The same thing's going to happen to you. I love the illustration he uses here in verses 41 and 42. These are common verses. We know Matthew's a little bit better, but here's a similar story. And he says, "And beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? And then he says, thou hypocrite, cast out the first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly, pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." And you get this picture. He says, there's a person that has a beam in his eye. And this is a large piece of wood that's there, and it's blocking their view. And he's walking around, and his interest is to help the guy that has a little splinter in his eye. He says, here, let me get that out. That person that has the view blocked is never going to be able to help the other person get the little splinter out because he can't see. And he's talking about the religious leaders of the day. He's saying, hey, look, you got this big problem. You have a sin problem. You have an issue. You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I say. You're not living for me. Your heart is wrong. And you're walking around saying, here, let me help you get that out when you can't even help yourself. And that's what the scriptures are saying here. Who are you to go around saying, hey, I can help you with that. I can fix that. When he's saying, you're calling me Lord, Lord, but you're not doing the things that I say, get the beam out of your own eye. Start obeying the things that you know that you're supposed to be doing. Then you're going to be able to see clearly to be able to help those that have a lesser problem than you. One of the challenges in churches like ours is because of the fact we try to preach and teach holy living. Some people think that the end justifies the means. That if their outward appearance is right, they can walk around and try to help other people with their outward appearance. And they many times have a beam in their own eyes because their heart is wrong. And they have to understand, hey, look, you got to have it right inside. Yes, a right inside is going to help with the right outside. But you have to be willing to take the beam, the problem, out of your own eye so you can help somebody clearly. Because there's a lot of people out there that say, well, I can help this person. I can fix this problem. But you're not even doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. It continues on in this. And for a good tree, bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of the thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather thy grapes. Now, I know those verses mean different things. We're not going to have time to explain all those things. But it's talking about, you know, what's inside of you is going to come out. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. What's inside you is going to show up sooner or later. It's going to be revealed. It's going to come out. So it's in here that's the issue. And that's what Jesus is saying. This is where we struggle at. You call me Lord, Lord. You with your mouth flatter me. You honor me. You pay me lip service. And yes, that's what you should do. That's what he told disciples. You call me Master and Lord. And it's true that I'm your Master and Lord. But you have taken your mouth and you've done it. But you're no longer doing the things that you know you're supposed to do. And why does he ask us this question? Is it because he doesn't understand? He knows exactly why. It's because he wants us to consider something. That's what our theme this year. That's why we're looking at these great questions of the Bible. God's not trying to gain knowledge. He wants the people that he's speaking to consider this and to listen to this and understand the truth that's found here. You call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things I ask you to do. There's a problem. So he uses this story in verses 47 through 49 that we're familiar with once again. We're more familiar with Matthew chapter 6, but you'll remember the story is like the parable of the two builders here. It says in verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Now the Bible in Matthew speaks about how he's called a wise man and that he is wise because of the fact this is what he does. So this is the key is found here in verse number 47. "Heareth my sayings and doeth them." Now he says, "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." So it shows that a person hears and does that. It does the work. It lays the foundation. That foundation is found on Jesus Christ. There's nothing else we can build our house upon and it be sure. Verse number 49 says, "But he that heareth me and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth." Now, here they use the word earth. In the other one, it talks about sand. Neither one are very stable. "Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and ruin of that house was great." Verse 48, the person heard. Verse 49, the person heard. Verse 48, the person listened and obeyed. Verse 49, they listened and did not obey. This is where we struggle with. It's not the fact that we have not heard the truth, or at least had the opportunity to hear the truth. It's not the fact that many of you have not been saved probably for many years. You have knowledge that's available to you. It's, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things I say?" That's where it comes down. It's not just hearing, it's also doing. In the scriptures, it says, in James chapter 1, it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Don't just be a hearer, you need to be a doer. It continues on, and it says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So when we hear and we do, that God's able to bless. Luke 11:28 says, "But he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." John 14:15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." James 4:17, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." It goes back all the way to the beginning. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Praise the Lord, we believe that. We bow down to the Creator, as we should. Then we learn that we were created by him and for him. Then we learn that it's for his pleasure. Then we circle back and see that he's supposed to have the preeminence. We know all those truths. Then Jesus comes to this and asks us this question. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things that I say?" Who are we to say, "Yes, I believe you're Lord. Yes, this is how I lift you up as Lord." But then we go and do the things that we want instead of what he wants. There's a problem there. So when we consider the great questions of the Bible, we're supposed to take these with us and think about it. How does this apply to my life? Am I someone that calls him Lord? And the answer is, for most of us, yeah. That's definitely. He should be Lord of my life. He should be master. He should be first. He should have preeminence, first in charge, first in thought, first in place. If that's the case, then why aren't you doing the things you know you're supposed to be doing? You know, whether it be kindness, whether it be forgiveness, whether it be being faithful, whether it be reading our Bible and praying, whether it be being a soul winner, you know, the vastness that's found in this book that shows us the truths. It's his book, and he comes, and he's been teaching these people, and there's so many people following him because of the miracles, and there's so many people following with half a heart, never truly believing who he is. And he gets to ask this question. He gets tired of the hypocrisy. He gets tired of people being halfway, and he says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things I say?" And I want to bring it up to a level to that most of us are on as believers and as Christians, people who know God, people who know him personally, people who would not say Lord, Lord in a vain way, but instead people that would say Lord and then struggle with the fact, I know it and I hear it, I just don't do it all the time. So let's go back to the beginning. How do we get here? You know, in the day and time that we live in, especially in these times of uncertainty and times of craziness for some people, so many people are talking about their rights. I demand my rights. It's my rights. I have this. And you know, we could use lots of the different illustrations to talk about it. You know, some people say you have to wear a mask. And, you know, some people say you don't have to. You know, it's sort of like, and I was reading one day, you know, it's sort of like the abortion people that are for abortion. Obviously, you know, I'm against it. I think it's murder. They say that a person should have a right to do whatever they want with their own body, right? But then they tell you, you have to wear a mask. And you're like, well, it's my own body. Well, it doesn't matter. You have to wear a mask. It's for the safety of other people. What about the safety of the baby that's in the womb? I mean, it's, you know, it's contradictory there. And there's confusion there. And people are saying, where's my rights? Where's my rights? We wouldn't even be here. We wouldn't even exist if it would not be the God that we know. Past all that, it's a God that loves us. A God that suffered and died for the souls of mankind so we could go to heaven and be with him for all eternity. Forget the fact that he is God creator for a second and say, you know what, he deserves honor and glory for the fact that he created me. I would not even exist or consist if it was not for him. And drive forward to the fact that he loves me, and I know he loves me, and he pitieth me like I was his own child. Praise the Lord. So next time we call him Lord, the next time we say, you're God and ruler of my life, let's make sure that we're doing the things he tells us to do. Many times when I think preachers, at least for me, when I come up, I want people to know where they're at. I want them to have sure footing, understanding what the Bible says. I was reading this past week and I'm studying, and they said, you preach on this verse, you're not going to be very popular in the day and time and place you live in because of the culture. And I don't think that's true here. I think most people here want to know the truth and want to know reality. That's why you come to a church like this, and that's why you come to a place where, you know, it might be even safer to stay home in some ways. You want to know what reality is and what truth is. And here's the reality and truth is. A lot of people struggle with this. They want to call him Lord. They want to think he's Lord. But they choose to be the own Lord of their life. And the scripture condemns that. Does it mean we're going to be perfect? We're not going to be perfect. But we need to be working towards it. You are Lord. And I want to submit. You are Lord. It's not just a commitment. Lots of people can make commitments. It's submission after the commitment. I start a diet almost every single week. I commit to doing it every single Monday. But I don't submit to it on Monday morning. I commit it. If I don't submit it, sometimes. But you think about it. It's the difference between a commitment and submission. It's the difference between listening and doing. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and doeth not the things I say? If you take some time to think about that, I think it will help us humbly surrender ourselves and say, not only are you God, you should be Lord of my life. And I'm humbly submitting myself to you. Let's have a word of prayer.